We're going to talk about family communication. Communication is a big part of our daily lives, especially these times where we've got cell phones, we've got social media. It's so much easier for us to communicate with one another. And communication isn't just verbal. It's more complicated than that. It's our body language. It's our tone of voice. It's how we move, how we look, the look in our eyes, your emotion, your passion. It could be a message or a post on social media or a text message, and all of these things can be misinterpreted, especially with autocorrect these days. You ever get to typing so fast in a text and you send it and that is not what I meant to say. It is nothing what I meant to say. And you try to text back to correct it. However it is that we communicate with people, we need to remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And this is what most people consider to be the golden rule. You'll do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat someone the same way that you would want to be treated. There's really no better way to gain someone's trust than to be kind and treat them as you would want to be treated. So I've gone and I've broken down communication. I broke it down into four basic areas of communication. So listening, answering, speaking, and last we have resolution. We'll be taking a look at these four areas and their biblical aspect in our lives. Oftentimes, problems arise in relationship due to a lack of communication, and family relationships are no exception to this. This lesson is relative to communication in any context, but a lot of it has to do with communication within our families and how to deal with that. However, these principles can be followed in every area of our lives. Listening. Be a ready listener. To learn to be a good communicator, we must learn to be a good listener. James chapter 1 verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Swift to hear and slow to speak. It's not the other way around. You've got to hear what the other person is saying before you give a response. Maintain eye contact, giving more attention to listening than to speaking. You know, sometimes they start talking about their problems and we think, oh, well, this happened to me. And we get eager to tell our own story that we don't just sit there and listen. But if someone is upset and they come to you and they want your help, your advice, shut your mouth. Just listen. That's what they want. They just need you to listen. They don't necessarily need you to fix their problem. They just need you to listen. They came to you for help and they don't necessarily want to hear about what is going, you know, what your problems are. Not that they won't listen later, but you got to let them go first. They just need you to listen. Sometimes finally being able to talk to someone and verbalizing your emotions, it takes a huge load off your shoulders. You think about whenever you've had a problem and you've gone to talk to someone and just the fact of getting it out, you just felt the weight lifted off your shoulders. Like I said, you don't have to answer have an answer for their problems. You just need to listen. Look for areas where you may be wrong. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And you might think, well, how does this have to do with listening? But have you ever had someone tell you something, say something to you, or maybe you just overheard them saying it, and maybe you took it the wrong way, took it out of context, and maybe you got upset about it, thought some things about that person that weren't very nice, only to find out later that what they said is not necessarily how you took it is not what they meant. They meant something totally different by it. Then you end up feeling like a real toad because you thought those things and it wasn't really what they meant. It happens, especially in a text message or a Facebook message or something like that, because you don't get that emotion from them that you would get if you were face to face with them. So we need to get clarification and talk to the person about it before we assume things that aren't true. Try to understand the other person's point of view. Proverbs 18, chapter 2, oh no, sorry, verse 2, and then we'll look at 18, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Or I went wrong with that one. We'll read what's up there. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Oh, because I skipped up to the top one. I'm sorry, guys. I missed my place there. We're not always going to see eye to eye with everyone. We're not going to have the same point of view. That's just part of being human. But we need to try to understand their point of view. There are times where Cressa and I are not on the same page. We're not on the same chapter. We're not even in the same book. And it happens. I mean, that's part of being married. You live with someone and you love them to death, but sometimes you just don't see eye to eye, and that's okay. You got to work through those things. And sometimes, usually it just takes a hug or I'm sorry, you know, I took that the wrong way. Sometimes we both just bust out laughing just because we're both being just ridiculous. And it kind of breaks the ice. We're able to sit down and talk about what happened and just get over it. You know, we work it out. That's what you need to do. And we've prevented many of arguments and hurt feelings just by doing that. Seek the interest of others. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. We need to be unselfish while we listen. Don't watch the clock. Don't sit there and sigh. You're like, oh my gosh, are you done yet? We need to listen. We need to be invested in the conversation and take interest in what's being said. If you want someone to listen to you whenever you have a problem and have a need, you need to give that same respect. You need to listen to what they have to say so they will listen to what you have to say whenever you have that problem. Answering. Listen first. So this next step is, the next step in good communication is knowing how to answer what is said to you. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. We need to listen and let the person finish before giving a response. It's kind of what I said earlier. Too often we're ready to give advice or tell our own story before we even know the whole story of what they're trying to say. You can't assume that you know what they're going to say. You need to listen first. Think before you respond. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Give yourself some time to think about your answer before responding. You know, sometimes if somebody says something to you and you get upset, saying that quick, hurtful comeback feels good at the time, but you'll regret it later. Sometimes the greatest way to say something is to say nothing at all. Just keep your mouth shut. You know, come back to it later. If there's a problem and you're about to say something you don't need to say, just hold it back. When you calm down, come back, and maybe you two can talk that out later. Before you say that hurtful thing. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. A hasty response is of no value and it makes you look like a fool. So give it some thought first or just don't respond. Don't quarrel. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. The analogy given here is that of a dam. You know, the beginning of an argument usually starts out small, just as a small hole in a dam. But once that hole is made in the dam, all the water begins to press from all parts towards the hole, and pretty soon the resistance becomes too great for the dam to hold it anymore, and it just sweeps away. All that water just poof. But what does that water do? it causes destruction. If there's a town, if it's a big dam and there's a town, you know, down from it, it's going to wash that town away. It's not going to be there anymore. And you think about how long it's going to take to have to rebuild that town. You're not going to rebuild it in a day, in 30 seconds. It could take years to rebuild that. Well, the same thing is, you know, an argument. With an argument, it starts that same way. And before you know it, it's escalated, and it's escalated, and pretty soon it's a screaming match. You're saying things that you don't mean. The other person could be doing the same. And you can't just go back and rebuild that relationship in a few minutes by saying, I'm sorry. If it's gotten to that point, a lot of times it's going to take a while to get over that, to talk that through. It may take years for some people. So don't push buttons that you know will cause the floodwaters to come. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Well, pride makes us do some things that we aren't proud of. Pride makes us want to keep on fighting, but it's going to be in our best interest to stop the fight. It's harder for a person to fight when their opponent refuses to engage. You throw a punch at somebody and they don't fight back, you're not going to be in a fight anymore, more than likely. If you feel things getting out of hand, you should back off until both of you calm down. Like I said, come back at it after you've calmed down, have a civilized discussion. So you don't say things or do things that you don't mean. Don't use profanity. Ephesians 5, chapter 2, verse 4. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Foolish talking, etc., that has reference to profane language. This has no place in your communication. I don't know why some people feel like they need to say cuss words, profane language, just to get their point across. You know, I'm sure a lot of us have had conversations with people. They can't say five words without saying a cuss word. There's no need for it. We need to make a conscious effort to keep profanity out of our communication with one another. Don't seek revenge with your words. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There's no place in the Christian heart for vengeance. When you respond to hurtful words with hurtful words or a desire to get revenge, you're sinning. It's a sin. If you can't respond in a proper way, sometimes it's best just to step away from the situation and come back once you've calmed down. It's kind of like that saying, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Use a soft answer. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 25, verse 15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Answering someone with a soft answer is going to get you a lot further than if you were to be harsh with them. My boss were to come up to me because they were mad at something that I did and yelled at me, I'm probably not going to respond to it very well. You know, if they were to come up and say, hey, you missed this, do you mind going back over it and getting it done, you know, by tomorrow or something? Well, yeah, I'll get that done. I'm sorry that I didn't do that. You know, you get a better response out of somebody if you come at them with a soft tongue. You know, if my wife were to simply ask me a question, I turn around and snap at her, she's probably going to line me out pretty quick and tell me, look, I didn't do anything. All I did was ask a question. Or if I've done that more than once that day, she's probably going to turn around and walk away. until I start acting nice again. So snapping back is not in my best interest, I can promise you. Speaking. Then you must learn to express your ideas in an acceptable way when you speak. Tell the truth. Revelations 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is no place in communication for deceitfulness or dishonesty. How can you expect someone to want to listen to anything you have to say if you have a reputation of telling lies? You can't. No one wants to listen to a liar. You think about someone that you know that's been a habitual liar, how likely are you to believe what they have to say when they tell you something? You're going to have a hard time believing it. Speak it with love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, receiveth not in iniquity, but receiveth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The word charity means love. Love stumps everything, right? We always hear that. Love stumps everything. It never fails, thinks no evil, rejoices in truth, it endures through everything. If you have something to say, say it in love. If I confronted one of you today because I saw you doing something that biblically wasn't right, and I came up to you and I started hollering and screaming and said, "You old toad, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Blah, 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 blah. What are you going to do?" I mean, some people might say, "Those are fighting words. Let's go." Some of them just might start arguing back and screaming, and there we go. We haven't communicated well, have we? But if I came to you in a soft tongue and I spoke to you with love and I said, "Look, I see this is going on. You know, can I help you? Can I pray with you? Let me help you. You know, I love your brother. Let's get through this together." More than likely, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation, and you know, whether it be one conversation or several conversations, we hope to help each other through that. And the difference here is that I said it in love. I didn't say it in malice. Don't tear down. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It's a sin to speak words for the purpose of tearing others down. If you live by the insult, you'll die by the insult. If it's wrong for us to try to tear the other person down, how much more wrong is it to do this in the presence of others? Gossip, to sit in a group of people and start talking about somebody else in a negative manner, we're tearing someone down, and that's a sin. We shouldn't do that. Nothing can be gained by putting someone down. Don't nag. Proverbs 27, verse 15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. I'm not here to talk about a contentious woman. I think any man that ever gets up here and reads that verse, and they probably say that. I'm not here to talk about the contentious woman. Let's talk about the rain. Now, we think of rain, we think of moisture, the fresh smell in the air, how it's good for our lawns, it's good for the crops, and everybody's happy because we have rain. Well, let's think about an annoying, leaky faucet while we're trying to go to bed at night. We hear a drip, another drip, and another drip. It just makes you want to pull your hair out or plug your ear or something. It's such a nagging sound. That's what he's talking about here. You know, they didn't have the nice roofs that we have nowadays. The roofs weren't leak-proof. So when it rained, they had to put up with the nagging, dripping sound. So don't nag. It makes it difficult for the other person to listen to you, and it's annoying. Nagging is not speaking with love. Finally, resolution. Effective communication leads to a resolution of problems and differences. To effectively communicate, you must learn to resolve problems, not just discuss them. So we need to confess. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As Christians, we are to confess our sins one to another, to trusted Christians. And when you're wrong, or when you wrong someone, you need to confess that wrong and seek their forgiveness. Proverbs 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. When the offending person repents, you must forgive them. If you have a hard time forgiving that person, you need to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help you to resolve that issue and to get over that forgiveness for whatever it is that they did to upset you. If you're the offender, then you need to ask forgiveness and be forgiven as well. Proverbs 17, verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Once a matter has been resolved and the offender has been forgiven, the problem shouldn't be brought up again. Not only should it not be brought up again, but whatever the problem was, it shouldn't happen again. That should just be the end of it. So before we conclude, I know this, as I went over this and went over this, it, to me it kind of sounded more like a family council session than it did a lesson, so to say. But we spend more time awake than we do asleep. We spend a lot of our time while we're awake interacting with people, or at least I do. You got to communicate with a lot of people during the day. Being a social worker, you got to be social, right? Communicating with others is a huge part of our lives. It's how we show emotion. It's how we get what we want, how we teach and discipline our kids. So I titled this Family Communication because I believe that's where communication begins and it ends. You wake up in the morning, and most times it's a family member that you see first. The first person I see every morning is usually my wife, unless for some reason she got up and one of the kids crawled in bed, which could very well happen. And they're usually the last person you see at night. Our communication at home sets the stage for our relationships throughout our lives. If our kids see us communicate by arguing and yelling at each other, they're going to grow up thinking that's normal. It's okay. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's how a marriage is supposed to work. And I know there are going to be times where we get angry and our communication is going to break down. Like I said before, it happens. That's part of being married. That's part of working things out. Even with your kids, you're going to holler at your kids. Hurry up, we've got to go. Communications are going to get broke down. But that doesn't mean that you can't go back and they're upset, talk it over with them. I've had to deal with my girls a lot. Look, I'm sorry I hollered at you earlier. I love you. Please forgive me. Even to my kids, I have to ask for forgiveness. When that happens, like I said, just as I said, you need to confess. Ask for forgiveness. And or forgive, then leave it alone. Don't bring it up again. Men, we've got to communicate with our wives. They don't know what we're thinking. Ladies, you've got to communicate with us as well, because we don't know what y'all are thinking either. As couples, we can't come home from work and take our bad day out on each other. Take some time to yourself if you have to. Then come back together. Share your day or just talk. Have a conversation. We've got to have clear communication in our homes. If you want your kids to talk to you about the big stuff, then you need to listen to the little stuff, like how their dog can read their mind because they were thinking about candy and there their dog was eating a piece of candy. Dad, my dog can read my mind. Yes, honey. Yes, honey. I love you too. If you don't give your attention to those stories, how can you think they will want to tell you about the more important things, especially when they become teenagers and the things that happen when you're a teenager? Communication is the foundation of every relationship we will ever have. Our children learn how to communicate from our example, just as we did from our parents. How you communicate as a family directly affects every family member in your house and could have long-lasting effects on their lives. So I challenge each of us this week to find ways that we can improve our communication in our homes and other aspects of our life and put them to practice.